to name your life verse, and I'll talk more about what that means in just a moment. What would yours be? Well, I've given you the paper here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Before we get into all of that, now let me begin what I'm going to be saying over the next couple of weeks with a lot of energy and fervency and exhorting you. Before school starts again, for those who are school age, this has impact. For those of you who don't have children in school, it's not going to matter to you. But we're really, really encouraging our people second time through. Some of you couldn't come the first time. Second time through, we're going to have a one-day prayer camp at Camp Hillmont, right out here in White Bluff, on August the 4th. That's a Saturday. I know it's the first week of school being back in. I know it's there are other kinds of things going on, but I'm challenging you, and you'll hear me say this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, until the deadline is July the 29th. Camp Hillmont's right out here, and some of you could not go because you couldn't stay overnight. When we went to Camp Linden, we had over 60 of our people go to prayer camp at Camp Linden. Many of you could not go, and I know who you are who couldn't go, and that's the pastor's job, is to know who they are. So I want you to sign up, and I want you to come to prayer camp. It will change your life. What some of us in this room need more than anything else is not another sermon from Pastor Mike or another Bible lesson in Sunday school. You need some time with the Lord to pray. And our first prayer camp was remarkable. It was wonderful. And many of us who went still live off of some decisions we made as we spoke to the Lord. Some of you are at a place in your life where you need to be praying about some decisions you have to make, life decisions. So prayer camp is for all of our adults. If you know, we're inviting now the people who have children, just bring your kids to the camp, and Dan, Richard, and Debbie will be at the back. We'll talk to you about it. We'll help you with the arrangements. I really want to appeal to you, please sign up. We want you to come and be a part of it. It will be from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I really believe that if our church prays, we will see some of those hard strongholds that keep people down fade away. But God's people need to pray. I know you have businesses. I know you have activities. There's no good day to have it. But some of you need to go to camp, just like you used to when you were a kid. So, August 4th, prayer camp, Hillmont, and the deadline's July 29th, and what is it, Dan? $25. Okay. If you can't do the $25, I'll pay for some. Not everybody. Some. All right. Is that enough advertisement? Y'all want to give me the signal Pat gives me? You want to just do that's what this means. Okay, that's enough. Move on. All right. Life verses. Why is this important? Well, if you have the paper, you see some things I want to mention to you, first of all. Life verses are discovered through the regular reading and study of God's Word. All of God's Word is important. Every word is valuable. Every word is important. Every word is essential. And every word is divinely inspired. All of these words. Every word matters. You know that. I've preached here long enough, and I've been your pastor long enough. All the words matter. But sometimes you're in a place in the Bible and you're reading, and for whatever reason, I believe it's the Holy Spirit, because of the life circumstance you're in at that moment, there's just one verse, one phrase, one section, but especially one verse that just is on you. You cannot shake it. You can't get away from it. It's not a verse somebody taught you to memorize, though many of us are blessed and we went to church and learned how to memorize Scripture. it's in your reading and your own study of God's Word, and as you're daily in God's Word, it's just these verses come and they capture your mind, they capture your attention, they get your focus, and you can't shake these words. Some of us in our Bibles through the years have written them down in the back, and that's a good way to do it. And we've even written down the occasion on how we came up with these verses and why they mean something to us. Life verses are discovered through regular reading and study of God's Word. Secondly, life verses, they bring encouragement, they bring comfort, they bring hope to all of our life circumstances. You know, as the pastor of this church, you know, Todd and I were talking about it today, just as pastors, you know, just so every day, we're all reminded of how frail and how short life really is. We're reminded of the weakness of our human bodies. We're reminded of the shortness of our time here on this earth. And so we all, some of us today are just having a great day and we're living in a happy season of life. But the happy and the sad seasons come. There's a time for everything and a purpose for everything under heaven. These verses anchor us when we're going through both the good and the bad times. They're the verses that we sing out of joy to the Lord when we're having some of our best days, and they're the verses we cry out to God speaking about when everything in our life seems to be falling apart. These life verses are words of encouragement, comfort, and hope for the future. They're words that you hold on to, and sometimes they're written on a plaque. You find them in a store. They're so meaningful to you, you put them in your office and in places where you can see them in your home. Just like the Jewish people were called to do with Scripture. Write it on the doorpost. Put it around your house. But these particular life verses you carry with you. They're so familiar to you, you don't need your Bible to quote them, that you've internalized them. And they are inside of you and they come out of you when the pain comes or the joy comes in life. I want to encourage you, if you do not practice this principle of discovering life verses, you need to do it. It will change your life. So I was blessed as a young man many, many years ago as a student to be taught the importance of recording as they come along, and they come at surprising times. See, first of all, you got to read your Bible to have this happen. Second, you got to study your Bible. You've got to pay attention to what's in it. Everybody here, I can't study the Bible for you. You can't study it for me. We all eat God's Word individually. These life verses also are a blessing to others. So tonight, my job is to share my testimony of my life verse. Ryan will share his next week, and then Todd will share his next week. Then we go back into whatever the chaos will be in those days. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. 4 lines, 29 words. 4 lines, 29 words. And I can tell you, from my youngest of days till my old age, I have carried these words with me through all kinds of life circumstances. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your paths straight. So Pastor Mike's life verse. Pastor Mike, And I love all of God's word. I have so many verses that I'm thankful that I still have my memory where I can remember these words that are in the Bible, and I'm grateful for it. By the way, scripture memory will help your mind. It really will. It's a proven fact. Memorizing things helps you maintain your mind. If you don't want to lose your mind, here's one way you can do it without medicine. Memorize God's word. You think I'm silly. I'm not. I'm telling the truth. It ingrains things into your brain. And don't tell me you're too old to memorize. I have heard that excuse all my life. I bet you know your address. So tonight I want to just take this phrase by phrase. I decided to write mine out with some explanation because I want you to have it, because I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Phrase number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5. Remember now, for those of you who are not as familiar with your Bible, I'm not trying to be technical, but you do need to learn these things. And Ryan's helping us out a lot on Sunday night, giving us some of the theological, technical things that we need to learn about God's Word. Remember, the Bible is written primarily in Hebrew, originally in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language. We did learn in Daniel that there is some additional languages used. But primarily, we're reading an English Bible. You have an English Bible tonight you read from, because most of us in this room have not studied the Hebrew language. So you would be at a great disadvantage if I was reading this to you from the Hebrew. So when we come to study God's Word, we look at the words. We look at the words and we go back and understand their original definition from the original language. This is the way we study God's Word. And there are many tools and helps you can use as an English reader of the Bible to help you understand just what any student who knows the Hebrew language or the Greek language would know. So you're not at a disadvantage anymore. So I'm going to speak, and when you see I give you on the sheet, I give you a word and I put an equal sign. What I mean by that here is I'm going to give you the Hebrew rendering, the original language rendering of this word. You all have different translations. I use the New American Standard here. I've mentioned that to you many times here in the church. You have other great translations, but I appreciate the New American Standard and its clarity with the original language. It's very close, very accurate to what you would read if you were reading Hebrew. So for me, as your pastor, this is my preference. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, church. What is trust? This Hebrew word has to do with putting confidence in another person. It is the idea of confidence and hope. You're counting on this person. You're confident. Not only are you counting on them, you're confident they will come through. No hesitation, no doubt. Trust is this amazing, unbelievable word in the Old Testament and, of course, in the New Testament that we must understand to be saved. But it is also the word, what did Paul say? We walk by faith, not by sight. It is all of our experience of knowing the Lord Jesus is all bound up in trust. It is a trust relationship. It's not based on what you do or I do. It's not based on good works. It's not based on your background and your heritage. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's the idea. We trust the Lord, and guess what we do every day? We go and do good. Church, this is our job. Well, what I got to go fix things in my life. No, trust the Lord and do good at your job. Trust the Lord and do good towards your family. Trust the Lord and do good in relationships. Trust the Lord and do good. Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord and trust Him and He will do it. Lord, here's what I believe I need to do. You've made a decision in your life. Trust the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him and He will do it. Lord, I want to do this, but I need you to help me. Show me what you want me to do. Help me. Trust the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and He will do it. And then, of course, Psalm 44, which is such a great psalm. It's the ultimate blessing psalm. How blessed. How blessed. How blessed tonight, church. How blessed. How blessed is the man or woman who has made who? The Lord his trust. The only thing I'm going to trust is the Lord. How blessed. You are a blessed person when you center your trust and confidence for the future, for your own life, for your family, in the Lord. The Lord is our trust. And he, notice, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud. Who are you going to trust? The Lord or the proud? Nor to those who lapse into falsehood. So number one, trust in the Lord. With all your heart. We've studied enough together the book of Proverbs and the Psalms in the past to know that in the Old Testament the word for heart and mind are both words used interchangeably to describe, along with understanding and some other words, perceptions and all these different, the internal part of who we are, the totality of our person. I'd say it this way, your mind, your will, and your emotions. What you think about, what you decide to do, and how you feel about it. Our passions, all of it driven together. Listen, trust the Lord, in the Lord, with all your being. With everything that's inside of you. You don't hold anything back. You don't believe and trust the Lord two-thirds of the way. You don't trust the Lord half the way. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, will, and emotions. Trusting the Lord with all your heart is a lifestyle. A lifestyle of trusting the Lord. We trust the Lord to be saved. We trust that God knows best in our lives. We trust that God's ways are best. Speaking to someone today who's going through a hard time and they are struggling with some horribly difficult things, and the challenge this dear person's having is, can I trust God in all of this bad stuff? Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's easy to say it when you're not in the middle of it. When you're down in the bottom, who are you going to trust? Trust that God has not forgotten you, and trust that God is with you. And I could have made a list more, trust. You get the idea. So let me pause right here. First point of evaluation for you tonight. How are you doing with your trust? Who do you trust in? Who brings peace and satisfaction to you and hope and confidence? Have you put your trust in what you have? Have you put your trust in your abilities? Who do you trust? Tonight, whatever you're facing, do you trust the Lord? It's a very important question for all of us here tonight. There's not a one of us left out from this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So I grew up in a family with just working class dad, and you know, we had a lot of kids, and so to go to school would be impossible. It just would be impossible to go to school. And so learning these words as a student in high school, so my youth minister, we started to pray. I said, I can't go to school. Don't have any money, don't have any way to do it. So we started praying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And without all the detail, which is not that important, I'm simply testifying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Doesn't look like there's any way it's going to be able to be done, but you believe it's God's will for your life, you trust the Lord, and you do it with all your heart. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to forget God when it's good. And it's hard to trust God when it's bad. Over time, here I am. I made it. Now, my teachers would have hoped that I would have been a little bit more serious about school when I was in school, but nevertheless, I did what I could do. And I had the opportunity. God made a way. And I'm grateful. Just one example. Trust in the Lord tonight, my friend. Something lingers in your life. Some issue is in your life. Some circumstance is before you. It's been before you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Secondly, do not lean on your own understanding. This phrase in Hebrew, do not lean, has the idea of leaning on something to rest. So I'm leaning on this podium. I'm leaning on it. It's taking and supporting some of my weight, stabilizing me. I'm leaning on this. I'm leaning on this podium. It's to lean on something to rest on it for support. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. Let not the wise man boast for his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his strength or might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises. Please look, here's what the Lord does. How come I can trust God? He's the one who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. The Lord delights in loving kindness and showing love. He delights in justice as we not only seek to be just toward people, but in His justice and righteousness on the earth. Do not lean. Do not lean. What are you leaning on today? Oh, how many times I have talked with people who prayed and they've been talking about something they've been counting on. Notice, this is our way of saying it. I'm counting on it. Let me just use this phrase. You're leaning on it. That's what you're doing. Tonight, what are you counting on? What is it you're counting on? Well, I'm counting on the Lord. All right, good. To do what? This is better, but, or I'm counting on my boss to do X. I'm counting on this friend to do such and such. I'm counting on my kids to, you know, make up whatever. What are you counting on? What are you leaning on tonight, church? What is it you're leaning on to get to stabilize yourself? Do not lean on your own understanding. The challenge of trust is a trust either in God or a trust in ourselves. And this is where it really comes down to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. All right, look what I've described here. This idea of understanding has to do with your intellect, your thinking, your insight, and your understanding of life. Many of us have lived a long time in this world, and we've had a lot of experiences, and I'm not minimizing that. Are you going to count on your wisdom and your insight into the world, or are you going to trust God? See, it comes down to this. This is where all the prophets went. This is where many of the Proverbs go. This is what the Lord Jesus talked about. Will you trust God or will you trust in yourself? As people in our part of the world say defiantly, I don't need anybody. I will do it myself. Will you? Will you get yourself to heaven? Will you overcome heartache and pain on your... Will you? Will you talk yourself out of your trouble? Or just maybe like some do, pretend like trouble is not real. It's a fantasy. Sickness is just pretend. And pain and sorrow aren't real. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Every one of us tonight in this room, we are leaning on something. We're counting on something or somebody. I hope you would say, I'm counting on the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 4:1. Hear, O sons and daughters, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain what? Understanding. See, we need an understanding of things that's bigger than us. You've heard this before, this story of suffering and trouble and pain. You've heard preachers say it. There's a form of knitting, needlepoint. Pat crochets. I have no idea how she does that. It's like her hands are a machine and they just go do it. And stuff just comes out. Needlepoint's different. Needlepoint, you do needlepoint. A piece of what Pat does is the same on both sides, but needlepoint has the pattern on one side. On the back is just a bunch of strings. Do all of you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen needlepoint? What, it's just a mess. If you turn it over on the back and say, okay, what is this? You say, I have no idea. It's just a bunch of colors and string. That is one of the ways we must remember we need God's understanding, for to us, we look at the world much of the time and what's happening even in our own lives, and we don't understand. It's like the backside of needlepoint. Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God permit this? Why would I have to go through this? Why would He assign me to this or set me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why is God taking so long? Why do I have to be here rather than there? Trust in the Lord. Why did this relationship not work out? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean for support and stability on your understanding. You see, we need understanding from God. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10, is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One, the knowledge of the Holy One, how God works, is understanding. Now I want you in your Bible for a moment to go with me. This is a longer passage and I want to read it. I'm having to discipline myself to go through these, but I want you to turn to Jeremiah 17 because it is such an important passage to show the contrast here between trusting in ourselves or trusting in God. And I want you to hear the warning from this prophet. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord. This is the prophet's way of saying, I'm about to talk to you about something that God is saying. Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You see, you cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. You cannot trust God and yourself. I hope you're listening to me tonight. If you trust in yourself, you turn away from God and trusting Him. For he will be like a bush. What happens to the man? What's the curse that falls on the man who trusts in himself? He will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness. I have lived in California in the high desert. I have lived in Colorado on the deserts below the Front Range of the Rockies. The scrub brush there and the wasted place for miles and miles and miles and miles. No trees like we have here. No green. All of my friends from the West, Daryl and Brenda who were just here, said, "My, how green it is here." I said, "Yes, it is. Welcome to the tropical rainforest." But if you've never lived in a wilderness place, it's a cursed place. There's nothing there but sand and dryness. I want you to hear it. What's it like to trust yourself? It's barrenness. It's barrenness. It's waste and pain and hardship and trouble. If we could shout these words in the street to the people going up and down 70 here, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. But then, blessed is the man, verse 7. Blessed, oh how blessed. Now we're in the prophet Jeremiah. We're not in the Psalms. From David to Jeremiah, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust, listen, is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water all around us. We live among this. That extends its roots by a stream that will not fear when the heat comes. Oh, it's hot out there, but these trees, they're still green. But its leaves are green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Today, are you totally trusting God? Or do you have a divided heart? If your heart is divided, you have gone back to trusting yourself. If when you pray, you take it back, you're not trusting God. If you pray and give it to God, you give it to God, and you continue to give it to God, and you do it every day. You trust with all your heart, and you give it to the Lord, and you say, "I trust you. I'm the servant. I trust you with this." Today, are you trusting in yourself or in others? Are you counting on your own smarts to get you by? Trust brings peace and security. I want to ask you today, are you at peace and do you feel safe? The only way you will, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Next phrase, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. So this phrase in Proverbs 3, verse number 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. The idea here, if we were reading this in the Hebrew language, is in the totality of everything that comes in my life, in all your ways, not just your church ways, in all your ways. And this room is filled with ways. The ways of the people. The hundreds and hundreds who come to this place. The ways of our people. In all your ways. Did you catch this personal? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I can't trust for you. and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, the pronoun is in every phrase to make this personal. Are you in the totality of everything in your life journey, in your course of life? Have you acknowledged Him in all your ways? What does this mean, Pastor Mike? Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He watches his paths. The Lord knows what you're doing. He knows everything you're doing. He knows all your ways. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives of what you do. Proverbs 21:2, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. See, we learn here that God is very much aware of what we're doing. Ecclesiastes 1:2, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. All that we get worked up to do, all that we seek to spend our time, the mass of people in the world spend all their time trying to make money, get rich, be happy and satisfied, and then they die, and whose is it? Without any eternal perspective on living life for eternal values versus temporal values. It is the way of the world. In all your ways, in all of your ways, in all of your doings with your family and your work and your personal issues and your marriage and your children, I could go all your ways, all that makes up what you are in your life, in all your ways. Now, what does this mean? Acknowledge Him. This is an interesting phrase. It is the idea to see or perceive, to be acquainted is the idea. Acknowledge. So you know what you're doing? In all your ways, you recognize that God is working in all those ways. This is back to what many of us learned in experiencing God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lord, you have something to do with these ways. I can't do these as a selfish thing. Whatever my way is, you're in it. You're at work. Do we perceive God's work among us? Do we perceive what He is doing, what He is permitting, what He is allowing? 1 Chronicles 28:5, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him, but if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, your plans will be established. This is how we take our ways and bring God to this, to say, Lord, You're in this. I can't see how You're in this, but I acknowledge You. I acknowledge You in this pain, in this sorrow, and this loss, in this whatever it is, illness, or I acknowledge You in the blessing, whatever it is. You're in the middle of it. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives to all generously. Acknowledge God's work in all the areas of your life. Well, Pastor Mike, some of the areas of my life are hard. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Practice bringing all your ways before the Lord for wisdom, help, and direction. See, we keep some of it back. We think we can figure it out better than God. You know, it's the old idea, hey, Lord, don't worry, I got this. Really? Do you really think you've got it? No, you don't got it. Forgive my poor English. Finally, He will make your paths straight. Oh, for a straight, smooth path. He will make your paths straight. From the Hebrew, this is the idea of level, smooth, and straight. It's free from obstacles. Any of you who've hiked or you've gone out and you've walked in the mountains and you've gone on paths and you've been through the woods and they turn every direction, they go up and down and it's wearying. They go up, they go down, oh for level ground. There is a contrast in the Word of God between crookedness and straightness, and I'll just give you this insight, and we won't be able to spend much time here. Wickedness is always associated with crookedness in life, things that are crooked, bent, not straight. Psalm 125:5, but as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them astray with the doers of iniquity. Proverbs 2:15, we're breaking into a section. In fact, it's right here in front of me. He says, discretion will guard you, verse 11, chapter 2. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wickedness, crookedness. And then we have straightness and righteousness. You know, have you ever had the comment, you know, when I first moved here, I think I've said this to you. You know, Pat and I grew up in the West. We grew up on the other side of the Mississippi. So over there, you can pretty much see things where we're from way a long ways away. I saw a fellow the other day. I was over at my son's, and he was working on a tire for my son, and he is from Portland, Tennessee. And he said, yeah, I went to Oklahoma. He found out we were from Oklahoma. Yeah, I went to Oklahoma, and I learned how to change these big tires on these earth movers. Anyway, he was telling me this whole story. He said, you know, there ain't many trees over there. I said, that's pretty much right. He said, we stayed 10 miles away from the yard where we were working on, and you could see the crane from 10 miles away. Oh, that's right. You can see stuff a long way away. North is north, south is south, east, it's easy. When we first moved here, Pat and I were so scared, we didn't even go out after dark because we couldn't find our way back around on these roads that do like this, that have three names for one row. Nothing straight. You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing straight. Who made these roads in Tennessee? They just go around in all these straight roads. As the crow flies. You know, have you heard that phrase? Well, if you were going as the crow flies, which means that's straight. Oh Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes, and make your way straight before. See, we get on the Lord's straight way. He's already made the way straight. Are y'all listening to me? He's already made the way straight. Oh, a lot of people going around crooked roads tonight. They're trying to find their way. And it's just, it's here, it's there, it's a crooked way. But when you come to the Lord, it's straight, it's smooth, it's level. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, Proverbs 11:5. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. As we've learned in the Proverbs, you don't look to the left, you don't look to the right. You focus your eyes on what's ahead of you. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter in through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. Are you listening? And few find it. We're going to live all of our days and die as followers of Jesus, and the vast majority of people in this world will never walk on the straight way. They're going to be out in the thorny way, out in the crooked way, lost out there somewhere, and die in their crookedness and pain and sin. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among who you appear as lights in the world. Tonight, may I ask you this as we close? What are you trusting in with all your heart? What are you leaning on? Have you acknowledged God in all the ways that you're facing in your life? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, church. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Listen, there's a promise here. Did you catch it? He will make your paths. Are you listening? I'm about finished. He will make your paths straight. Crooked paths will be made straight. Can anybody say amen? Crooked paths made straight. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us all tonight. As we think about these wonderful words, these four lines, these 29 words, may we learn, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. We count that now, Lord, to be our promise. We claim it here tonight. For all the circumstances of all the many people in this room tonight and all of their ways, we come to You and we say what the man said to Jesus, Lord, what he said to You, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, help us to trust You with all our heart and not live a divided life, turning away from the living God. Thank You for the straight path. Thank You for the level way. Thank You for the narrow path that leads to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Prayer camp, prayer camp, prayer camp. Remember prayer camp. Don't make me where I have to come around and buttonhole you like a politician. Prayer camp, prayer camp, prayer camp. Love you guys. See you Sunday.